Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Say ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon, cause I shave my head in the morning, pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made, cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing. I can't get it on my own. If you don't like the way I'm living, just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
What's up, folks? Let me tell you about the wonderful Miss Vicky down at Dolly's Delights. This time of year is when every one of y'all are looking for something to give your coworkers, your friends, your family, whatever, whoever. And let me tell you, she does these wonderful gift baskets. She brought me one to the studio yesterday. She wanted to change her ad up a little bit, and she wanted to give me a preview of what you guys can get. Now look, I got some great candy, also some other cool things for men, and plus, I guess she knew I like candles. She obviously went all out for this basket, trying to put on a good show for me, and she did. So, everybody that is associated with Raising Grace Studio will be getting one of these gift baskets for the holidays. And I recommend you guys get them too. Now, she told me this is one of the more expensive ones. But if you don't feel like spending a whole lot of money on one, she's got some for around $30-$40 as well. And she can supply your whole office, your whole school, whatever. So, Miss Vicky at Dolly's Delights, thank you. If you want to get in touch with her now, call her at 478-231-7237 or go visit her at 5122 3rd Avenue, Eastman, Georgia. Now, a couple days ago, I did a show with Miss Lori from Lori's Dive-In over in Alamo. She brought me and Gracie all types of food, even a keto pizza, a cauliflower pizza. I've never ate anything like that before in my life. And let me tell you, it was banging. The wings were amazing. She does this special mix-up with lemon pepper and buffalo, and it's out of this world. Her wings are cooked better than almost any place I've ever been. Let's see, what else did she bring us? She brought us fried Oreos. She brought us fried pickles. The barbecue was awesome. The hamburger was banging. When you go there, too, folks, you can go back and listen to the whole episode between me and her. Her staff is awesome. You feel like you're at home. It's just the best little place around. I know whenever we go through Alamo or I'm going down 16, I'm going to divert myself to go get lunch there. Y'all please go check her out. Her phone number is 912-568-1645. It's on Commerce Street over in Alamo. You can't miss it. It's Lori's Dive-In. Go get fed good. Go get treated good. You're not going to get better service from better people anywhere around here. So go check her out now. Let me tell you guys about the baddest insurance agent around these parts, Miss Jenna Carr. She's an alpha insurance agent. She handles home, auto, life, and business. She's located in Macon, Georgia at 3312 Northside Drive, Suite C160. Let me tell you about Miss Jenna. Not only is she just the sweetest, cutest damn thing you ever seen, but she takes care of business like a true professional. I love dealing with her. She's done got me hooked up with life insurance because, let's be honest, I'm going to need it. And every time I've ever dealt with her, a complete pleasure. So, y'all do me a favor now. Give her a call and go look her up on social media. Jenna Carr, Alpha Insurance Agency. And that phone number in Macon is 478 601-621-7065. Tell her that you need the same package, home, life, auto, all that good stuff that she hooked me up with. So recently here at the studio, we had a tornado came through. And when it did, we needed a new roof put on. We needed some work done to it. And my dude, Mr. Brad Devane with Classic Roofing and Construction at 478-832-9229 came and gave me a free estimate, and then they hooked us up. It was an insurance job, and they took care of it right away, but they also handle out-of-pocket. And what's cool about them, they've got 30 years experience. They don't collect a single dime until the whole job is done. They do a full walk-around with the homeowner just to make sure that everything is up to the homeowner's standard, and then they collect. I know when we needed them most here at Raising Grace Studios, they did us an amazing job, and I'm glad to have them on board with us. So check out Classic Roofing and Construction now. Give Mr. Brad Devane a call at 478-832-9229. That is Classic Roofing and Construction. You guys want to know where I go to have a good time in Macon when I'm also wanting to get some good food and listen to some good music? I go down to Cashman's Pub at 370 Cherry Street in Macon, Georgia. Every time me and my buddies go there, no matter who it is, they've got a really good band playing. I'll tell y'all this, I love their buffalo chicken wraps. Plus, they have Buffalo Trace, one of the few bars around that carries it. So you're going to get the best drinks, good damn service, with good people. I know that I enjoy it, and all my friends do nothing but brag about it. Every Friday and Saturday, you can catch us there, but also we go there during the week when we get a wild hair. I know I can catch all my Bulldogs games, all my Braves games, and any NFL games there. They're going to have them on the TV. They're going to have drink specials. And it's just going to be a great environment for you to laugh, cut up, have fun with your friends. To me, it's my favorite little spot in Macon. If you don't know about it, go order one of their shot specials and tell them that I sent you. That is Cashman's Pub down on Cherry Street, Macon, Georgia. Phone number 478-219-9703. Y'all go run a bar tab up and tell the bartenders that the Josh Terry Podcast said hey. What's up, fam? Hey, I'm a little bit better than I was the other day. The flu is damn near completely out of me. I've got my voice back, I guess. It probably still sounds like shit to some of you guys. But I've had a very interesting day, and I'm fixing to drop a hilarious episode for you guys. Very informative episode for you guys. But first, I want to give a special thank you, along with the rest of our sponsors that you just heard at the beginning of this show, to Project Canine Hero. Thank you, Jason Johnson, once again. You guys, please go check them out all over social media, Project Canine Hero. Go follow Jason Johnson and all he does for our military and service dogs. He's a good buddy of mine. I very much appreciate him being a sponsor for the show and just being a cool fucking dude to me. I very much appreciate you, brother. So a couple weeks ago when I was in Nashville, I got the chance to record an episode with Trey Lewis and Matt Burrell. And it came out today. Well, I guess that I just forgot how fucking funny it was and how much I really enjoyed these guys. Trey's always been really cool with me. This is the first time me and Matt have really got to hang out some, and even though we've met like 10 fucking times already. And they put the episode out today, and it seems like it's doing very good, but I want to make sure that you guys go follow DM Mondays. Please go follow their show. I'm fixing to air their episode. So this is a repost of their episode. So if you didn't hear it from them, you're hearing it on us or from us. So do me a favor, please go subscribe to their show. It's one of those that I actually really like listening to. He has had a lot of people on his show that I just admire the shit out of. I mean, shit, they've had one of my idols on there. They've had Tracy Lawrence on there bullshitting. My buddy Trey Landon. Let's see, they've had Pecos and shit on there. They've had some guys that I just very much dig. And the fact that I got to be part of their show up in Nashville, and we had such a damn good time. It just means a lot to me. So I want you guys to show them some love. Also, I want to thank everybody that's helping us with our toy drive. We are a good bit behind on it. We're about five families behind on it, but we're going to get to work on that today on TikTok Live here in the next little bit and try to get some of that going in the right way. We also need people to donate new clothes, new toys, and gift cards for these families. We are sitting at 11 families overall, and we got to do 30 total. So, and we got till December the 17th. So any help that we can get from that, any businesses that want to sponsor a family, please reach out to me. I'll make you a sponsor for the show for the rest of the month. Speaking of that, shout out to Two Pilots Distillery. They're also associated with Mission 22. They sponsored one of our families, and I very much appreciate Kurt and Renee and everybody with Two Pilots Distillery. Thank you for that. Let's see what else. Oh, this weekend, Iron Bowl, me, Dustin Heron, Justin Nunley, maybe Macy, maybe a couple more folks. We're going to be there, and we're going to be putting out, which it comes out Wednesday, so go pre-save it now. It's called Roll Tide by Dustin Heron. Dustin, unfortunately, fell out of a tree stand the other day, and he is not one that likes sympathy whatsoever. But our whole plan was a little bit of a shock value at the Iron Bowl, is walking up to people with Auburn stuff on and playing a song called Roll Tide. I promise you guys it's not what you think it's about. It's not picking on Alabama in any way, shape, or form. It's a very heartfelt song that means a lot to Dustin, and I think it's going to mean a lot to a lot of people. So do me a favor. Please go pre-save that now. Justin Dukes has got some new music out. Go download it. Miss Farron Rachel's got some new music out. Trey Lewis has got some new music out. I'm trying to think of who all else of my buddies has got some new shit out right now. Just please go like and share all of their shit. You know, it don't take you but a second to go hit download or go hit pre-save. Y'all do that for me if you don't mind. That would mean a lot to me. Well, anyway, that's enough of me running my mouth. Let's listen to the episode. Once again, shout out to the folks at DM Mondays, Trey, Matt, all the boys over there. They have an amazing setup, and I just appreciate you guys letting me be part of an episode with y'all. Go subscribe and download all their episodes now. I am episode 21. Y'all hold on tight. It's going to be a wild ride. Hope you guys enjoy. And do me a favor, go rate and go leave a review on the Josh Terry Podcast and DM Mondays. Thank y'all folks for making my show a top 1% in the world and all the things because of you guys I'm getting to do these days. I love y'all. Enjoy.
I already get drunk and like old pictures of exes. Too.
Are you a fuck around with the exes guy? You have a tough time letting go?
Yeah, the problem is they just don't fuck around with me. I'm telling you. Like I said,
even when you end it?
I've never ended it with one of them. Don't leave me. I've been that guy. Grab the KY and get yourself ready. You got some sliding to do. Oh, hang in now with TL and the boys. Maybe some critters too. So get your phone and get on the gram. You know where to find the man. Slide into the DMs. Girls on your mind. Slide into the DMs. Oh, baby, take your time. Slide, slide, slip it on in. Here we go again. DM Monday.
Welcome to episode 21 of the DM Monday podcast. I'm Trey Lewis, got my co-host Matt Brill, and Trey Bonner's out today. He didn't know we were doing a podcast today. I don't know what was up with that.
He worked hard on the road this weekend. Yeah, he got after it. Yeah. Drank all the White Claws.
I was going to tell him today that his video looked really good that he did. But anyways, our guest is here in the studio, Josh Terry.
What's up, dude?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. This is weird being on this side of this. Like, yeah. I'm used to being the one directing the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is different.
We'll let you do a little bit of that, too, you know?
I think all of us is talking trash will be good enough.
Yeah, I figured with me and you, we just kind of end up talking, and it would just kind of go wherever it went.
I don't know if somebody's feelings are going to get hurt or whatever it's going to be. We'll have fun.
Yeah, my manager will be like, yeah, we can't use any of that podcast. So
yeah, so that's one thing I was going to tell you before, and I just keep forgetting. It was like, I told myself,
yeah,
I'm almost going to treat this like back when I used to work in country radio. I'm going to kind of be PG.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting on this show. I think you might have cut some shows before. I had to cut parts of shows.
We just cut one.
Oh, we're not cutting this.
No, we're not. We're going to use it.
We're not cutting this. I'm an adult.
definitely going to use it. I went down, I played in Vegas, not in Vegas, but Laughlin with Kid Rock, and we just finished the Kid Rock tour.
Dude, that's so cool.
And I downloaded a couple episodes of the Josh Terry podcast and listened to it. And I was just listening to you going on and on about some girl. You couldn't say her name, but you just like going off.
Yeah, it was because awesome. Of a cease and desist letter. I'm not allowed.
Oh, jeez.
All right. So one thing.
Gotta give a little backstory on this. You can't say a girl with a cease and desist.
I have no problem giving all of it. I give zero.
Let's go.
So one thing that I absolutely love, and I've said it since the very beginning of my show or even working back in radio, I love musicians that do stuff the right way because I'm obsessed with country music. I've been obsessed with it forever. Every good memory I have is connected to country music in one way or another. And I don't like, regardless of what you do in this world, if you have a follower, a fan, or whatever, you're supposed to treat every single one of them the way that they're the reason why you have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And it was where like this person literally was constantly getting complained about by artists that she was working with, by people in her band, by promoters, by producers, by all this kind of stuff. And then I already have bad enough luck with women as it is. This girl out of nowhere decides to slide up on somebody's DMs one day that I was hanging out with and was like, oh, you don't need to be around him. He's just using you. Out of nowhere. And I like the bad thing is I'm not even trying this girl. This girl's like family to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? No, I've already not liked you for long enough.
I'm saying something.
And I know how to go about it. Like I bashed the radio station that fired me on an episode.
Yeah.
And I had to consult before I did it, a lawyer.
Nice.
Because I needed to know what I could and couldn't say. I needed to know the rules of slander, libel, and all that kind of stuff. Oh, they should have never told me that. Because I know exactly what to do. You can give people just enough. And if they figure it out and the shoe wears it or the shoe fits, man, you can't do nothing to me. You can't do anything about it.
Yeah. One thing you said on there I really liked was that my ego has an ego.
Yeah, That's great. When you get into a situation with me like this and I know that I am right. Oh, I am a kamikaze pilot. I am a crash dummy. If I know that I am right and I've got the evidence, the proof, that everything to back it up, boy, you better just take me out.
It's wide ass open.
Yeah, I'm not going to back down. But, I mean, it's folks like you. It's other musicians that have just busted their butt to get to where they're at and done people the right way.
Yeah.
And especially, y'all know this, women have it so bad, whether in music general, not just country music or whatever. Like, women have to... Because of women like this, other women have to be 10 times better, different, nicer, whatever.
Yeah.
If you get a bad reputation at a venue of being a drama queen or whatever, that artist or that owner is not going to want to book another female act.
Yeah.
And like, I love men and women in country music.
Yeah.
Are just all, you know, I think that I don't see why you would want to do that to your peers.
Yeah.
It makes it harder on your peers. And that person just didn't understand it. I understand it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard stories of just women just being like vicious to other women in country music. That's crazy, dude.
I don't get it. I was on the way here and I was talking to Farron Rachels and I just told her.
Oh, we love Farron.
Yeah, she's coming on.
That's what she told me.
I guess 2 weeks.
Next week.
I'm obsessed with her.
She's the best.
Ever since this one of those things that like back in the day, at the studio, I would just turn on random playlists, whatever. And I heard that song On Paper.
Man.
Yep.
Ain't that a banger?
I just in love. And then that new one that she just came out with, she did my show a couple weeks ago. And I'm obsessed with that one. So I told her next time he's up here or whatever, his friends or whatever, like, let's go get some drinks or whatever. I think she's cool. But it's because of her. It's because of Kimberly Atwood. It's because of other women that I very much like that I don't want to see somebody like that putting a bad name on women's reps and they shouldn't be.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I get sensitive about that. I'm bad. Like, I know I overdo a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But when it comes to supporting those that I think deserves it, kamikaze pilot. I don't care about the social media stuff the way people think I do. I do it to promote my show. I make a ass out of myself a good bit.
Yeah.
But it's literally, I want to draw you into my show.
And then have conversations with you. It allows an open dialogue. Like back when you were on the air, on the radio airwaves and you had the, you had your local.
Burrell used to run radio too.
You had Bubba from the mechanic shop down the street calling in every morning on the show. Or you have the community. It's what your followers are. It's just a bigger range.
Yeah. I realized, and I don't know why people ever get this twisted. I almost got it at a very quick coming into this business that I work for you. You don't work for me. You're not, you might be paying for a ticket. You might be downloading my show or whatever, but I work for you. It is my job to entertain you. I might be doing what I'm passionate about, but I ought to make you happy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And that's where, like, when you're doing a good job at whatever you're doing, a singer, a podcaster, radio host or whatever, you put the listener or the follower or the fan first. And people that don't, I ain't got no respect for you.
Yeah.
I don't care how good you are. You could have Grammys coming out the ass. And if you're ugly to the people that made you have those Grammys, I ain't got nothing for you.
I agree.
That's why
a good person.
That's why I've always liked the interaction that you have with your fans. I think that is cool.
Yeah.
I think that is special.
Yeah, I always try to just like respond to every DM that comes in, whether it's absurd or not. You know,
I've heard some of your absurd ones.
Yeah, I'm sure you've got absurd ones too.
You'd be surprised.
You'd make me a list to read on the DM Monday podcast.
There's some of them I would like to probably find out if they're real or not one day, so I'm probably not going to ever read them.
Yeah.
You never know what town I'm going to be in.
Yeah, for sure. Have you had any fake Josh Terry accounts?
Yeah, a couple, but none of them been took serious.
We had one fake account where some lady got mad because she got scammed because she was going to pay money to have sex with me in the green room. But she got mad at my manager because she got scammed that she was going to pay for prostitution.
Yeah, like there was a scammer out there basically like, saying, hey, special XXX rated VIP meet and greet, me, you in the green room before the show.
And they said that they were turning it into TNZ, but it's TMZ, right?
Trey, I mean this with all respect from the bottom of my heart. If somebody is paying to have sex with you, how hard up were they? And I want to know how much they spent.
That's what I'm saying.
They ain't paying to sleep with me either, though. Yeah. It's for the real.
No, I agree. Yeah. My body looks like a melted ice cream cone naked. You know what I mean?
Hey, I look like half a tube of toothpaste that she used, bro. I'm telling you.
That Colgate shit.
I'm telling you. I am aging like shit.
Yeah. How old are you, Josh Terry?
35.
35. We're the same age.
Are we?
Well, I'll be 35 in December.
Okay.
Well, you were 86. Are you 87? I'm 87.
Yeah.
December.
September the 10th, 87. For whoever wants to steal my information out there. Damn, I just really messed that up. I don't care. I've said pretty much everything but my social security number on my show.
Well, dude, it's like if you Google my name, it says I'm 5'7".
It gets him and Trey Bonner confused. We got a tall Trey and a small Trey.
Yeah.
Y'all tickle me. So I wish the way that y'all do y'all shows.
Yeah.
That I had dudes around me that wanted to have the same atmosphere.
Yeah.
Because there's some, like, I have to put out so many a week now.
Yeah.
And I wish I had, like, some people. I have to do some by myself. I hate doing the ones by myself because it just ends up me sound like a bitter, petty, mean person. I like to have conversations. And I just would like to have one with my buddies.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like when I'm listening to y'all sometimes. It's just you and your boys talking, all of y'all having a good time. My dudes will not get on my show to save my life.
Damn.
They're rough.
What are y'all doing? He needs
not
some real
them. Hurts. They will. They will. I think all of them's been on them besides Carter. Riley Anderson, Dave McMahon, and Carter, the ranch hands. Yeah, I like his boys. I like to interact with musicians all the time because in our area, there's none.
I've noticed too. So, you started your podcast in 2020, right?
Yeah, 2020, October 2020.
And it was called something different,
right? Yeah, it was called Politics, Religion, and Whiskey. So
that's three. It's a hell of a title.
Yeah. Well,
and a popular one in 2020. All three of those were in very full effect.
So I love Sammy Kershaw anyway. I love that song, Politics, Religion, and Herb.
Yeah.
But when I got fired from country radio, I wanted to have a title.
Can we talk about why you got fired?
I wanted to have a title to where if you came on the show, it was open to you talking about absolutely anything you wanted to, because I wanted to be complete freedom of speech.
Which is what you don't get with radio.
Exactly, right? So politics, religion, and whiskey. But the problem with that shit was Every time you messaged a person on social media, you messaged an artist. I got the same message back. Didn't matter what my ratings were. Didn't matter what anything else was. I said, I'd like to, but I don't want to talk about politics or religion.
Yeah.
And then I had to tell them, you don't have to.
I mean, I won't even lie. I remember the first time you asked me on your podcast, I was like, damn, is he going to want me to drink whiskey? Because I don't get fucked up, you know?
Yeah. So. But what happened in radio was, and the reason we did the name change was because of that. We just dropped it, Josh Cherry Podcast. But what happened in radio is they found me off of social media back when I used to be called Bearded Bastard. Like, it was something that blew up, stupid stuff. I battled depression and anxiety or whatever, and I had an outlet for it. I used to be like 330 pounds.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to talk about that. Like, because I tried to, this might be too much for y'all.
No, bring it on.
Back in 2010, tried to commit suicide. Yeah. And I'm very open about it. And I went through a very bad breakup in 2016. Well, between 2010 and 2016, I figured out what my triggers were. I figured out what my everything that made me depressed and what really hurt me and put me in those funks. And I decided in 2016, I was like, you know what? I have to have an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
I was the biggest, the heaviest I've ever been in my life. And I was miserable. I was going into a dark hole. And I was like, you know what? I need to bitch. I need to do something to let people know that this woman that I was thinking I'm fixing to marry and all this stuff just did me dirty. And like, I need something to fuel
she
my
went
fire.
Straight for Dallas.
Yeah, she probably did. You probably sung about her, asshole. she's probably one of them. Oh, she would have liked you probably. She might have been the one that was trying to pay, to be honest with you.
Goodness.
But I needed an outlet. And so I started posting stuff. Well, then it blew up on Snapchat and some other stuff. And then next thing y'all know, radio came a calling. Like, there was a guy down in South Georgia, Dave Stone, who used to be on the History Channel show Axe Men, swamp loggers or something like that, where they would go in the rivers, plot logs or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So he's a big deal around there and been on TV and everything. And he's like, man, I heard you. I want you to come to the radio show to see if you like it or whatever. I think you got something. And I went down there and I did it. And next thing you know, I couldn't accept their offer because I have a daughter. And I did not want to move to Valdosta. I wanted to be around my daughter. That's my biggest thing is no matter what else I do, that's my fuel. Like everything I do now, and I do some stupid shit, is to build something for her.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do. So I kind of put it in limbo. Well, next thing you know, the biggest radio station between Atlanta and Savannah reached out to me. And they were like, we want you to host our morning show. Well, they went from whatever listeners to stupid numbers within a year. They won a couple local state awards and everything that they had never won before. But for the same reasons they hired me, and I was always PG. I never cussed on air. I never did whatever. I just always gave my opinion. And I figured out the reason why Howard Stern and everybody else is so successful is when you tune into terrestrial radio, you want something different.
Yep.
You want something different. If you're not a shock jock or you don't give them a difference of opinion or you make them think, they have no reason not to just pick up their phone and connect to iTunes.
Yeah.
No, I tried to convince them of that and they did it my way. And when they did, it was successful. Bad thing was, same reason they hired me, the same reason they fired me.
Yeah.
I ended up rubbing some people the wrong way and it wasn't their opinion that I stated.
What was that statistic you gave? I think it was on your podcast where they were talking about Howard Stern.
Okay, so Howard Stern, it's in his movies, it's in Private Parts. So when he was at MSNBC, they did a poll when he was like, maybe not at the height. This was in the 90s. I know he got way bigger. But it was in that four-hour span, they polled so many people that were a lover of Howard Stern and so many people that were a hater of Howard Stern. Well, the lovers of Howard Stern listened for an average of an hour and a half a day out of the four-hour show. The common answer when they asked why was, I want to hear what he's going to say next. The average Howard Stern hater would listen for almost 3 hours a day.
Yep.
Common answer was, I want to see what he's going to say next. If you're the advertiser on anything, they don't care what you say for the most part, as long as people are hearing their ads. That's what they're paying for. And in radio, not podcast, you can't go too far
I mean, you really can't. If you well, do, they're going to meet.
I think it also depends where you're at. So I did radio up in Jersey. Yeah. I was a country radio guy as well in Jersey, New York. Now, what we can say up there, it's just the cultures are different.
Yeah.
You're deep in the Bible Belt. You're going to have more Karens, more restrictions in South Georgia than you are in New Jersey. I mean, now politically correctness and whatever, but like I can say goddamn on the yeah. radio in New Jersey. Nobody blinks an eye about it. You say that in South Georgia, they're coming for
you're
you.
You know, freaking
so that exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's different values. Like, Howard was out of New York, the tall New York Jewish guy. And I just think it's tough. It's tough to do that. I give you credit for it, though.
There is a poster of Howard Stern, Joe Rogan, Dennis Rodman, and Mike Tyson. There's four big posters in my studio, and they're all looking directly at me. Those are like my four biggest influences as far as what I think.
Yeah.
And every time now I think about what would Howard do or what would Joe do beforehand. If I would have had that mentality back in radio, I think I would have gone about it different. But I knew I was doing such a good job that I thought I was untouchable a little bit. But then a couple rocky subjects came up and I gave my honest opinion. Yeah. And they couldn't handle it. They couldn't. So
and it wasn't the people that couldn't handle it. It was the station that couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Because I like touching on touchy subjects.
Yeah.
But I think I'm so good at saying that your opinion matters as much as mine. I don't think that your opinion's any – or my opinion's any more important than yours. I love listening to people that can have a conversation with you and not at you. If you're different than one of my best, I'm a Christian. I was not a very good one. One of my best friends in this world, she's an atheist. And we will have educated conversations on the stuff and neither one of us ever get mad.
Yeah. I mean, whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to having a different opinion than somebody and just being like, all right, social media? I think.
Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you're, I don't agree with you, but I still love you. You know, let's go to the bar or whatever, you know.
I think too many people, and the bad thing is, like I said, I'm a Christian, so if somebody's going to get mad at me, they'll get mad at me. But it's the people that are very religious are the ones that are the most judgmental. And I just, for the life of me, I don't get that.
Which is so opposite of what the message is from the book. Yeah,
it literally, Christian is to be Christ-like. He loved everybody.
No judgment.
Hung with the sinners.
Yeah. I like the sinners. I'm one of them. Yeah. I mean, I always say that messed up people understand and love messed up people.
Yeah.
Like, you don't judge them, but everybody's messed up. The more that you're open about it, the more that you're honest about like your things. Trey's got that song. I'm tired.
A little tired.
A little tired. My bad.
You're good.
And my mom has also always battled depression, anxiety, and all this kind of stuff, right? A couple suicide attempts, stuff like that. And like, whenever I told her I was doing Trey's show the other day when I was on the way up here, like, my mom started crying. Like, started crying because she's like, how much this helps or whatever. Yeah. Like, if you're not all the way open and you express everything about you, good, bad, whatever, if you're not honest, if you're not authentic, if you're not genuine, you don't have the capability of taking your scars and the stuff that has hurt you, your trauma, and helping somebody else with.
Amen.
I think that's what we're supposed to do. There's a reason why, if you've ever battled suicide or if you've ever been through it, there's a reason why you're still here.
Yeah, for sure.
And
I think that's a beautiful thing. I mean, that's a beautiful message as to what you're doing. You know, it's like, you know, selfishly, you needed an outlet. You know what I mean? Something to bitch about. But at the same time, people grab, you know, get strength from hearing you talk about the shit that you struggle with, you know, or whatever, you know. So it's like a two-way street.
Well, it definitely, I don't want to say it saved my life, but it gave me a different perspective.
Yeah.
It literally was where I kind of found my message. Like, I think.
Well, you're getting paid to be yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can't ask for anything better than that.
And I'm going to tell you, I am not one of these people that will ever say, I do everything I do on social media, or everything I say just to help you. I don't. Yeah. I like money and I like getting laid.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to tell you, like, I'm
same.
Not, yeah. So it's not like I'm a saint. I promise you, I'm not. It's just, I know what I've been through.
Yeah.
And if something I've been through can help somebody else or just help them share their story, all I ever wanted was to be able to tell what I went through, get it off my chest, and let people realize they're not alone.
Yeah.
Like, you're not by yourself.
Yeah.
And that was what, you know, that's always been my biggest thing. I have a lot of fun, but when it comes to that, I like that part of all this the best.
So you start the podcast in 2020. Was it weird getting started? Were you still working a normal job?
No, was it weird having all that time and not doing 20 second to 2.5 minute breaks?
Yeah. I hate commercials. I went and did a radio show like 2 weeks ago with my buddy, and he started reading those commercials, and I just about just walked out of the room.
And it's like, what do you do with yourself for those four minutes of ads that are running? Just sit in the studio. Yeah.
But to answer your question, man, it was hard and it was very, very frustrating. But, and this is always hard for me to say because people think I'm completely full of shit when I say this. I am a person that literally, I feel like I walk by faith, blind faith. Mm-hmm. I never know what's coming next. But if I feel like, I always look for signs. If good things are still happening to me, even though the thing that I want is not happening to me yet, I think I'm on the right road.
Yeah.
Like it's a reminder that I'm going the right direction. Yeah. And man, they even getting started in the podcast. When I got fired, dude, I got fired on my birthday.
Oh, wow.
Oh, jeez.
It gets better. I got fired on my birthday. I was in the tattoo chair in Macon, Georgia. I have wanted a tattoo for so long and finally had the money to get it to where I have some shitty tattoos over here on my right arm. Yeah, we want to see those. Yeah. And I wanted to get it covered up with God's armor. And I wanted to get a Crusader's cross on my chest. I was literally getting all this done when the program director called me and asked me to come back in. And I was like, I'm in a tattoo chair. I can't. And he's like, look, man, we got to let you go. And it was one of those things that like I literally was, it was, I was freaking out. Like I had to stop getting tattooed and all this kind of stuff. But then I remembered, like when this is where the faith thing comes in, I'm getting God's armor tattooed on me and I've wanted it forever and on the armor and stuff. And it's not done yet, but it's, I wanted the chinks. I wanted the cracks. I want it to be worn. I want it to be battle scarred. And when I just knew right then I'd be fine. I just didn't know why I'd be fine. Like that was the, even though I got fired, I was going in the right direction. And I ended up, y'all know Jacob Bryant?
Oh, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
So Jacob Bryant was playing a bar for me for my birthday. Like, it was Kerrigan's down in Vidalia. He played that night for me. And I showed up, and I'm upset. Like, I've been in tears and all this kind of stuff. Like, just, I think everything bad has happened to me. Well, after that, I decided, I was like, look, I got to clear my mind. And I went to Jacksonville, Florida. Well, between Cochran, Georgia, and Jacksonville, Florida, I had a radio station out of Atlanta that's well-known, one in Savannah, both called me. And they asked me to go to work for them. And I just didn't know what to do because I would have to move away from my daughter. That's my biggest thing. I will go back to a 9-to-5 before I'm not around my child. Mm-hmm. She just turned 11. She'll be 18. When she gets 18 now, she better be going to Vanderbilt because I'm moving up here.
Josh Terry party.
Yeah. I can't get away from my baby.
That's awesome, man.
So I went to Jacksonville, Florida. There's a poker room down there, and I'm a degenerate gambler.
Me too.
So bad.
Dude, I lost like $6,000 this year on the Kid Rock tour.
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm a degenerate gambler. I'm sitting at a Texas Hold'em table. And we're just talking over there. And there's a guy sitting across from me. And somehow we strike up a conversation. And he's with iHeartRadio. Mm-hmm. And he's like, starts asking stuff about me or whatever. And he's like, have you ever thought about starting a podcast? And I was like, no, I've never. Like, I know what they are. Yeah. I mean, I was already listening to them at the time. And he's like, if you really are passionate about things you stand for and all this kind of stuff, just be different and start one. See if that goes well for you. Well, luckily, I had a little bit of savings account and ended up purchasing a building. Well, not purchasing, renting a building and started it. And like I had this idea in my head of what it was going to be. Well, that didn't work. I had this whole concept. I didn't want to do. I was so used to in radio not having to advertise for myself. Mm-hmm. Like people knew what time your show was coming on every morning, all this kind of stuff. So I hired like these three good looking women to do all my social media for me, just like post TikToks, all this kind of stuff, whatever. And they were morons. Like I very quickly realized that I was hiring them because of their looks, but they weren't creative. I could be more creative.
Yeah,
it did. And it worked for me. It got people downloading the show and all this kind of stuff. And that was a learning curve. Cause I think if you go back and listen to the first couple episodes, you can tell the quality on a couple of them's trash.
Yeah.
Trash. The content's pretty good, but the quality's trash. I had to learn. And then
you just kind of get to that point to where this isn't making me money. I'm spending nothing but money to keep this going. What should I do? Like, should I just go take a real job? And I just had this, I had this moment, and I'm not going to say the person's name, but they came around, and within one time of them being on the show, I figured it out. I figured out I couldn't, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, I could not just have everyday normal people on the show all the time.
Yeah.
You had to have creative people.
Spice it up.
Yeah, you had to have like personalities that were bigger than you. I always say I want to be the least professional or the least creative person in the room.
Yeah.
I want to. I want like everybody else to teach me something if I'm around you.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured that out. You start getting these folks, that these women or these men that have figured out how to get a million people to follow them on social media. There's a lot you can learn.
By being themselves.
Yeah, by being themselves. The ones that fake it, you can
tell. As good or as bad as that is.
Those ones that fake it, you can tell in a heartbeat. Those ones that are genuine and themselves, takes you 5 minutes to figure out. I don't know what they're going to end up being.
Yeah.
But they're going to be something.
Or what kind of conversation we're about to have, but we're going to have it.
Yeah, all you got to do. I think at the beginning, like the intro to our show or the description of our show, it says, just imagine sitting at a bar with a complete stranger and becoming best friends by the time you get done with it.
Yeah.
That's what I want my show to be. And over the past 2 years, that's what it's grown to be.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. I love how you talk about just being there for your daughter, you know.
That's my favorite part of everything. That's why it's called Raising Grace Studio.
Yeah. That's her name, Grace.
Yeah, Grace.
Yeah.
So everything I do is centered around her.
Yeah, I have a friend, man. He's like, you can call me whatever you want, but I'm gonna be a good dad no matter what, you know.
Yeah, I might drink too much. I might like women too much.
Yeah,
I like a lot of things too much. Overindulge in a lot of things in my life, but I also learned how to overindulge in being a parent.
One thing I've noticed that you've been doing, and I don't know the realm of it all, but like you know how you said there's really nothing in Georgia as far as like music goes. I know you've been taking some of these younger artists and just trying to help them, introduce them to people that you've met in music. You've been doing some demos and stuff.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I just really believe, man, I had people help me.
Yeah.
And I don't think that you're given a platform and you should just abuse it.
Yeah.
Like there's people, the guys that are sitting in the room that I brought with me.
Yeah.
They're talented, dude. They're good. I will never be able to sing a song. The good Lord knew that if he gave me musical talent, it's over with.
Yeah.
It is over with. I'm going to have 100 different baby mamas in 50 states. Like, I'm not going to be a good person. Yeah. I will Johnny Manziel the shit out of that situation. Yeah. But I think to what I want to do is I want to help those who don't have a voice as loud as me, mm-hmm. that are more talented than me.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk. That is it.
I feel you. Yeah.
I can come up with a one-liner. I might come up with something catchy.
Yeah.
I can't do what y'all do.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that are actually good and the ones that I believe in, I try to take everywhere with me and introduce to folks and get them on social media.
Yeah.
And for somehow my dumbass has learned how to work social media. I got several buddies that are just so talented, I think. And they don't know how to work social media at all. They don't know how to do any of it. And I feel like that's my job. I feel like it's my job, and I don't want to charge anybody for it, and I never would. I want to show them what they can do. You just got to kind of – plus, no one believes in you where you're from, where I'm from.
Yeah.
You're supposed to work a 9-to-5. Nobody ever wants to take that leap
of
faith.
Nobody made no money playing music,
exactly.
Dewey.
That's exactly right. If you don't – where I'm from, if you don't graduate high school, get married – have a kid, work at Robins Air Force Base, and go ahead at 20 years old and start thinking about your retirement, you're a failure. Like, and that's just not who I am. It's never
what
been.
What is it, Burrell? Live here, die
live
here.
Born here, live here, die here.
Dude, come to Eastman, Georgia. I am telling you.
But, well, I will say one thing about Georgia, though. You guys are the breeding ground for country music the last 25, 30 years. Like, up where I'm from in New York, we don't have songwriters. Yeah. We don't have that. I don't know if it's you guys do the rock star church thing with the live bands and stuff.
I don't know.
Or what it is where kids are just coming up playing guitars. But there are a lot of people that do. Like, I feel like if you pulled all of the Nashville songwriting base, there'd be at least 20% from the state of Georgia.
It's funny.
All songwriters, musicians.
It's funny every time I meet somebody up here and I ask them where they're from.
Yeah.
Seems like they say Georgia.
Oh, everybody's from Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. All my friends are Georgia fans. Now there's a lot of Tennessee fans all of a sudden. Well,
that's funny how that happened from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think what that is we still live the life of country music where I'm from.
Yeah.
The back roads, the farming, the still doing bonfires, still all that kind of stuff. I think the way that we still live there is what country music is to me.
And I think it's more than just country music too, because you guys have had a lot of hip hop influence, a lot of rock influence. Church is a big thing. You guys have just so much music, so much instrumentation.
I think it's just, I've made the joke time and time again, man, the only difference between Muscle Shoals and Cochran, Georgia is somebody took the time to make Muscle Shoals, Muscle Shoals. Like if somebody wanted to make Macon, Georgia, Cochran, Georgia, something like that, a safe haven for musicians. You obviously need at some point in time to come to Nashville to network, mm-hmm. to write songs with people that are better than you at writing songs, to figure out what you're good at. But man, there's some people that can't get away. There's some people that's got families, they got whatever. And it's a pipe dream.
I mean, I didn't move here till I was 30.
Yeah. There's some talented folks that'll just never take the leap, but be some of the best voices
absolutely
that you've ever heard.
Yeah, see, that's where I want to help those people. And honestly, it's not just out of kindness in my heart now. I'm trying to find the next person that's going to blow up that's special and for some way or another be attached to it too. Yeah. Like, this is money for me. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But when you find these folks that have got
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Talent, they got the drive, they got the heart, they got the soul. They're not being fake about what they're singing about. They're a good person. Man, I will attach myself to you like a leech.
Mm-hmm.
But creativity drives creativity to me. And working with people that are like that, dude, that's when, even as me not a musician, I get my best shows out of being around folks like y'all. So, I mean, you can put me in a room with people that are in one way or another, creative, a musician, whatever you are, just songwriter, any type of thing. And I know that the quality of what I'm fixing to do is better than if I was sitting there talking to some girl that gets a million views for shaking her butt.
Yeah.
I find the people that actually have talent that need to be heard. And that's the people I try to connect with.
Yeah.
It's hard, but it's easy. I mean, honestly.
So would you say the Josh Terry Show is a country music podcast, or is the Josh Terry Show a variety show that features country music?
Dude, that's hard. If I could have it my way.
Like, what's the ratio of you have random people on? Because I've listened to some episodes, but I'm not like super familiar. Are you just having songwriters and artists on, or are you having like comedians, or
it's a lot more folks? Social media people.
Okay.
But it's because I'm picky about the artists I have on my show.
Okay. So you hold the country music the standard.
I think Trey Lewis has been on there twice.
Yeah, you, McKinney, Justin Dukes, Dustin Heron. There's just so many people that Blaine Bunning, Lee Tucker. If I don't say him, he's gonna hurt me. These boys, they're doing shows with me this week, man. It's just I want people that have the same standard as country music as I do. I am a traditional country music. Like, you will get in my truck and you're going to hear Whitley play to 1,000 all day, every day, damn near, or Earl Thomas Conley or something like
that. Dude, ETC is the man.
Oh, my God. I try to tell people what I'd say is one of the best songs.
It's one of the best songs ever written.
And
I'm waiting for somebody to bring it back, like they brought back that Keith Whitley song. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm
over you.
It was funny.
Because song's a banger, too.
Every one of his is, dude. I was like, Coe Wetzel referenced in ETC in one of his videos recently.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for all these children to be like, who's he talking about? Like, and going to looking up and discovering how good Earl Thomas Conley is. It just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. And like, I hold it to such a high standard, though. I'm not going to let people that I don't want to use my platform to use it.
if you come in there and you got some shit that I don't like,
yeah, I'm gonna tell you.
I just can't fake it.
Yeah,
After years of doing it on radio, where they're just sending folks to you on radio tour, talking to Joe Schmo, advertiser, whatever.
I try to be a very fair person about this. One of the things I did get in trouble for in radio is I would change the lock of music.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I wasn't a PD either, always dreaming of doing that. Good for you.
So I would
cool.
I would do it because
the log of what's scheduled to play. Yeah. So there's someone at a station, or there's one person.
A music consultant or somebody telling you what to play.
Yeah, there's like most of the Midwest is programmed out of Chicago. Most of the Northeast is programmed out of New York. Most of the South is programmed out of Atlanta. And it's one guy in an office programming 15 to 25, 30, 40 stations to all play the same thing at the exact same time across the country. You didn't like that. I know what my people want to hear.
Okay, so this is like when I remembered that I just had it figured out. It was when Tyler Childers came out with Creaker.
Yeah.
And it was number one on iTunes.
Yeah.
And they had never played Tyler Childers, not a single song on this radio. And you could see our call log and the text log. And it was literally everybody asking for a Tyler Childers song. And I was like, I bet you during my 4 hours, if I will play stuff that lines up with what the listener actually wants to hear, they will listen longer.
And our ratings will go up and everybody will be happy.
It will not be a tune out factor. Because that's one of the things they tell you in radio. Second, something becomes a tune out factor, you're supposed to stop it.
Yep.
But the tune out factor is you get these people that are listening to country music. And you're not playing the country music they want to listen to. You're playing what some music consultant has told them that you're supposed to play.
What some music consultant is getting paid to tell them to play. It has nothing to do with their choice.
Do you listen to the radio anymore? I started listening to it again recently.
You know what it is background noise for me?
Yeah.
If I just want to turn something on and not think about it, I'm going to turn on just terrestrial radio.
Will you notice if like a commercial cuts short or if like a log's off or like the clock's off?
Yes.
Well, you know, if the top of the hour plays at 7:07, I'll be like, oh, somebody fucked up.
Yeah. mainly because I used to be the one that messed up.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So I pay too much attention to it. That's one of the things that bugs me. And then you remember the prep sheets, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you know what prep sheet is?
Were you sheets happen?
Okay.
Is that the one you guys want?
Oh, yes.
That's what we used to.
So this is another reason why I hated working in radio, even though I was good at it, was him being in, you said New Jersey, right? Yep. Him being in New Jersey, me being in Middle Georgia. We would get the same prep sheets every single day. It's a service that all radio stations pay for. It is generic content that is created by these companies or whatever this sheet happens. And it is where there is no reason in the world why you in New Jersey should be talking about the same thing as I should be. Not a single bit.
Yeah.
I never read the prep sheets. I would do the birthdays, celebrity birthdays.
Yeah, that was one
like,
I would
generic
get to.
Stuff like that. When you just needed fillers. When you needed filler space or whatever. But I would not read the prep sheets. I was so against that. I was like, look, you hired me to be creative.
Yeah.
I'm not reading somebody else's stuff. My voice is not that good on radio. It's not going to sound good me reading somebody else's stuff anyway. But what I will sound good at is being original and being real. And it went really good for a while. It's just you start making people wrong.
What were your go-to like segments? What were like the Josh Terry Morning Show staples? Because the morning show, there's a lot going on. The morning show is a goddamn spaceship. There's ship flying all over the place.
Well, I don't think we ever had any staples. I think that I was real big on themes for the show for the day.
Oh, so you'd mix it up every day was different.
Yeah, so
that's a lot of thinking going on. That's a lot of creativity.
So one of the things that I really like, and I've always been good at this, is if we're in a mood, if we're in a drinking mood, I'm going to play you the best drinking songs I think that's out there. If I'm in a depressed mood, I'm going to do that, but then I'm going to look up content to go along with that.
Ah.
Yeah, so like I would do stuff to where it would literally be, hey, if it's Football Friday, playing Boys of Fall, we're playing all this other kind of stuff, and we're going to talk about football, but we're going to look up our own stuff. And we would keep with that theme over that extended period
of time. How would you do as far as like callers and stuff? Would you have certain segments where callers would call in?
There was always some stupid games. I always like when the callers just
call in to talk about whatever subject you came up with.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, if you tell them it's, they're probably listening with you at the start at 6 a.m. They're getting up when the rooster crows, pouring that coffee. Like, what are Josh and the crew? What's Josh and the crew talking about today? Like, oh, drinking socks. I'm going to call and tell them about what I got into on Friday night.
Yeah, so every radio station in the world has this, I would imagine. You got those crazies, right?
Oh, the we call them the prize pigs, the P1s, yeah. Position
that's
one.
That's exactly right.
On the car radio. P1s.
So I love the crazies. I would always put the crazies on. I would never put the soccer mom on. I would never put the one that was like, oh, I just want to wish my husband a happy 50th. No, I want the one that is calling, talking about, do you see Jesus in a spaceship yesterday headed to Mars? This world's just about to end. And they'd be like, okay, are we going with this?
If you could be Paul Feinbaum for a day, would you do it?
Oh, boy, yes.
That's just
to holler at Alabama fans all day. I hate Alabama.
That's all right. I'm roll tide.
Yeah, look right behind
you. I know you do.
It's all good.
Yeah, but it's not that if I can
have – It's the fans. I get it.
Yeah, the difference between a good Georgia fan and a bad Georgia – or a lying Georgia fan. If you were to give me Nick Saban before we had Kirby, I am 100% kissing Nick Saban's ass.
Yeah.
A fake Georgia fan is going to be like, no, we never would want Nick Saban as our coach. Absolutely not. Because you know you're never going to get Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Yeah, they hate what they can't get.
Dude, Kirby Smart's a G, though.
Yeah, he is.
He is the best Saban disciple.
Yeah, that's why I said before Kirby. I'm all about Kirby. Yeah. Kirby's my guy.
Now, how do you feel about? Is it this weekend or next weekend?
Georgia, Florida's this week.
Georgia, Florida's this week. And then you guys play Florida and Tennessee back to back.
I think Florida is always tricky.
It's just a lot of drinking for those are like the big party games.
Have y'all ever been to down there for
the swamp? I've never been to the swamp.
Well, it's not
the
swamp.
The cocktail party.
It's the world's largest cocktail party. It's Jacksonville. Yeah. I went one time.
It's a mess.
Oh, y'all don't know this. I got my ass whooped on TV.
I don't want to hear about this story.
All right, so if you look up Raised Rowdy with Barstool Sports. Okay.
It's Raised Rowdy.
Oh, yeah. No, that's Nick.
That's Nicky T. Yeah,
Rough and Rowdy. My bad. Rough and Rowdy.
You did Rough and Rowdy?
I did Rough and Rowdy.
Fought in Rough and Rowdy?
How did I not
fucking know about this? Dude, I watch all those.
Somebody pull it up.
This would have been 2018.
That's early Rough and Rowdy.
Were you bigger back then? You said you used to weigh how much?
Did you go to West Virginia?
No, I was good. It was at Georgia, Florida. That's where this is going. So the only time I've ever been to Georgia, Florida, they put out beforehand, like a couple of months beforehand, they were like, hey, we're going to do this pay-per-view boxing match. Georgia fans versus Florida fans. And there was like, they wanted the wildest submission tapes ever. Well, I'm obsessed with 80s and 90s wrestling.
Oh, really? Hold my beer, watch this.
Yeah, I was like, I've got you, brother. Like, I'm finna go ham. I'm finna be the cream of the crop. Like, I'm finna go ham, son. I submitted a video, and I never thought they were gonna pick me.
Yeah.
They picked me.
No.
And then I'm a cocky bastard at this point because they show you who you're gonna fight. Well, the guy they were going to fight, I was like, oh, no, I got this. And I wasn't bigger then. Like, this was 225, and I was in shape. Like, I don't work out no more, but I was pretty decent shape then. And, dude, they showed me who I was going to fight. And, like, back before my daughter was born, I had a very mean streak in me. So, I've been in a couple of fights before. Not anything I'm proud of.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm going to knock this guy out. Like, on TV, it's going to be wonderful. When I get there, I am 5'10 at best, and that's usually boots on, so that's like a couple inches of line right there. I get there. The dude I'm fighting is 6'3".
Oh, no.
280. Oh, no. And they're like, you want to back out? And my pride.
Here you go. No, has an ego.
My ego's got an ego.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. And then me and the guy talking to guys cool or whatever.
But even that no right there says, no, I'm about to get my ass kicked.
Oh, yeah, I knew. I knew. And then what made it worse is like my cockiness went from sky high to where I know I'm finna get knocked the fuck out. Like, I know. And then, like, I had to walk out to that Pastor Troy song, No More Playing G.A.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you got to pick your own song. So, like, I'm just bobbing, walking down. And the whole time I'm fixing to be carted off to this sang song. It's not even going to get done playing yet before they take me out of the ring. Well, I go a whole full round with a dude. And then I know I've not hit him. I have not hit him. He has such a reach on me, and he's strong. I haven't been knocked down yet, but I knew it was coming. I knew he's finna blast me. The next round, same thing. About a minute in, I realized I'm not hitting this guy.
I'm taking every headshot right now that I can. So he hits me one good time. I drop down to one knee. And I'm like, oh, my knee. I think I blew my knee out.
Please get me out of here.
And then the ref came over there, and it's the best acting I've ever done. The ref comes over there, and he's like, are you okay? And I was like, let me stand up. And I said, I dropped back down.
You watched a lot of professional wrestling as a kid.
Exactly what I'd done.
You know,
there wasn't a damn thing wrong with my knee. I just had made the decision
that you were out.
I was not getting knocked the hell out on pay-per-view TV. I was not. And there was a picture of me that went around like our Facebooks and shit and everything where I'm from or whatever. I had a smaller beard back then, but I still had one. And I had they make you wear the headgear.
Mm.
My face is completely bulging out of the headgear. And it just looks like I'm fixing to have a heart attack. My blood pressure is like 8,000 over 8,000. Like, I am red. And I was like, why did anyone let me do that?
Did you get to meet any of the Barstool guys? Or were you hanging with like Big Cat or Caleb those dudes?
I don't think I...
Not after an embarrassing yourself.
Well, no, I'm saying beforehand. Like at weigh-ins and all that, they usually have interactions.
As much as I like Barstool now, I knew what it was then, but I probably didn't appreciate it to where I went up to anybody.
Okay.
If I met somebody then, I couldn't tell you what. It wasn't Dave. I know Dave wasn't there.
Did you party that night or were you like, I'm going home?
So this is where my ego was completely deflated.
Yeah.
The girl that I was dating at the time was there with me. And we were supposed to go to Georgia, Florida the next day, like the party and shit. I was like, hey, look, I didn't want to tell her that I'd faked my knee hurting. So I made her drop me all the way back to Georgia. We were supposed to go to the game or we were supposed to tailgate or whatever. And she felt so bad for me. She was like, you just want to go home? And I was like, yeah, because I don't want anybody to know I got my ass whooped tomorrow. Because there was like a lot of people in the arena.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew that I was going to be in that guy. Like somebody's going to be like, you really got fucked up last night. Like that dude was wearing you out.
Did y'all ever have those like fight nights at like the bars and stuff? Like they would have fight night,
like the tough man stuff.
Like I don't know, they would just like bunch sounds of like kids.
The show Letterkenny, the toughest man in Letterkenny.
Like, no, we used to go to this bar. It was like somewhere down in Alabama. I can't remember what it was. Like in the back of the bar, and they had like a boxing ring set up, and our friends would just get up there and beat the shit out. It was like a fight night. And you paid like $15 and you just watched people get their ass beat. It was great.
We had that same thing at the Blue Iguana in Prattville. They had an octagon and it's just drunk people getting there fighting.
It's Alabama.
Like they took it serious, but I remember just like, I was never like a huge, you know, person. I mean, I got in a couple of fights, but I'm pretty much get my ass beat every time, like mostly with my brother, but in public. But I remember going to the.
That's how you know he's being honest.
Yeah,
he's like, y'all seen this.
I just remember like going to these things, and we would just be in there like watching people. Like I had this buddy, his name was Chris Green, and he was like got up to fight this guy, and he ended up being like a huge boxer. It was kind of like big and famous out of Tuscaloosa. I can't remember what his name was, but he was like supposed to fight this other guy and he didn't show up. So he had to go against this like real boxer. And I just remember him, like he got his nose broken, blood, and everybody was like, holy fuck. You know, I don't know. It was just like, that's super cool.
That's some ROWTYDE road tide shit there.
Where I'm from, we had this place called The Circle.
Yeah.
And it was a concrete hill. Like it was just a big U-turn that nobody went down no more next to an old cotton gin. And we all used to, like in high school, we used to go put on these boxing gloves and we used to fight each other. Like that's about as close as I've ever got to that.
Yeah.
And those were never fun. Those were never fun.
All right. Would you rather? Is you ready for this segment?
Let's do it.
Would you rather be 4-5 or 7-7?
4-5 or 7-7?
Yeah.
Definitely 7-7.
7-7.
But how the hell are you going to fit through doorways? How are you going to go on an airplane?
You ever try to get laid being 5'6"?
I mean, I'm like 5'8", 5'9".
He's mentioned his height like 10, yeah, 10 times.
I'm making sure that women know because I always get it. Like, I thought you were tall. I thought you were 6 foot. No, I'm not 6 foot. I'm like I said, 5'10 at best. Yeah, no, forget that. I would not want to be.
7'7", though? That's so.
At least you can fucking play in the NBA.
You could.
You can make a big check doing something. You can be the world's largest freak. I don't know. I don't know. I just know that women are not a fan of short dudes.
Yeah, you got to find the hot short women.
Everything I've ever done in my life since the first time I got laid is to get laid again.
Yeah.
Whether it was Whether it
that's a clip.
Hey, I said this earlier. McElwain was going down to get you. I was like, McElwain, if you're a Charmander, Josh Terry is your Charizard. Like, he is the evolution of you. That is a Matt McElwain sweet boy kind of statement. I'm telling you,
whether it was buying a shirt, buying a car, getting a job, whatever it was, it's like, you know what? Am I going to get laid if I buy this?
Yeah, Chris Cagle, because exactly. The chicks dig it, yeah, kind of exactly. Shit.
Yeah, so, in that instance, I'm definitely going to be taller and shorter.
Yeah. Would you rather be able to run 100 miles per hour or fly at 10 miles an hour?
Well, I'm scared shitless of heights, so I guess I'm going to be fast.
And you want to be 7'7", you're scared of heights?
You're on the fucking ground. Your feet are still there.
Dude, if you can
I'm not up in the air.
If you can run 100 miles an hour, imagine how fast you could get to.
I'm definitely getting an MLB contract. I'm just stealing bases all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm thinking of money and late.
Yeah.
Money and late.
That is
money
literally what my brain revolves around.
Just money. I'm either getting paid or getting laid.
Would you rather sweat mayo or have to poop a softball? Is this like every
Where
time?
Where the fuck are you getting these questions?
Hey, for real.
Shit happens. I'm just kidding. That ain't shit happens. That shit happens.
This is gonna be like way too much. I already feel like most of the things I shit out are softballs anyway.
Sense. I agree.
What does the Josh Terry diet consist of? What are your go-tos?
Oh, it's bad. So when I'm doing these extremely bad diets for myself, so I don't
just
like an experiment.
Self-pain.
So I don't blow up again.
Yeah.
It's a lot of grilled shit, but right now it's any and everything. What do we eat today? What's that Jack's barbecue that we ate today?
Oh, Jack's is pretty good. They got that good brisket, dude.
Yeah,
that's solid.
I ate like a smoked sausage, some greens,
mac and cheese.
Peg leg porker
is really good. You also get that.
Oh, where's that at?
That's good. That's right over here in
Cannery Row.
Yeah.
It's over by like where
Gulch. It's like an old gas station looking place, right? Or like an old.
Mm.
Okay, maybe it's not.
No, this place is right here.
We'll send it to you. It's really good.
Yeah, just don't go to Wits.
Y'all are the ones that I've heard it. Y'all talk about on the show there before. Like every town you go to, they think they have the best barbecue ever.
We got. Oh, don't worry. You tell Trey and the boys. We got the best barbecue for them. They ever had best barbecue ever. Yeah.
Catering the shit out of you.
The best barbecue I had was in St. Louis, Missouri.
Really?
Yeah, St. Louis or Kansas City. The burnt tips.
Oh my god, dude! I still think about that shit. It's so good.
So you can tell that there's a high cholesterol level between us because we're just sitting here like sweating over meat right now.
Dude, there's a place in Georgia that we used to stop at. I don't remember where in Georgia it was, but it was where the movie Sweet Home Alabama was filmed. It was called like Big Heavies or something.
I have no idea what that is.
Before my time with you guys.
Dude, this was back in the cover band days. We'd be coming back from like South Carolina or some shit. We'd stop in
there. Yeah, I've never heard of that one.
Do you remember what it was called, McElwain?
They had so you get the barbecue, there's a fireplace. I'm pretty sure this place had no health code.
Yeah, like zero.
Those are the best places.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This place was great.
They didn't take cards that I remember.
Cash only.
And you popped in. It did not look like a restaurant. It was a old wooden cabin, and they had a big, huge cast iron pot back there that had their, I think it was either beef stew or Brunswick stew. And I wish I could remember the place. We passed by it all the time, and we'd stop in and every single time and get it. I think it's either coming from Statesboro or Columbia, South Carolina.
It was not white folks cooking this barbecue, was it?
It was, actually, yeah. Some older folks, and we were the only ones in there every single time.
So when I'm on the road, I have a thing or whatever I'm going, I do not eat at white-owned restaurants.
Not
for like any political reasons or whatever. I just like the way the African Americans cook their food.
Yeah.
I would rather go to some restaurant like that. It just, they always have the best food.
Yeah.
You got to go to Uncle Bud's. Uncle Bud's is where, if you're talking about high cholesterol, so it's all you can eat catfish, all you can eat chicken. They serve you with rounds. Like instead of like bread bowls or like the bread baskets that they do at like steakhouses and Italian restaurants, they give bread baskets of hush puppies.
Where is this at?
It's in Donaldson. It's not far from here at all. Okay. It's like 15 minutes.
I've never eaten there.
You guys should do that. I went there with McElwain one time. McElwain eats fried okra by the pound. He's a sucker for smoker.
But he's like pizza and chicken fingers the rest. rest of the way.
Really? Yeah, he loves some pizza, fried okra. Chicken tenders, and fried okra. And that's about all he eats.
Maybe you could get along, dude.
But dude, yeah. but dude, it's a very like mom and pop like African American owned restaurant.
Yeah. I love soul food.
That's exactly what Uncle Bud's is.
I grew up extremely like poor until we got to like probably middle school. And so, like, that's what we've always ever ate. Like, we ate the poor people food.
You've had instant grits a time or two.
Have I? And I hate grits. I do not like grits whatsoever.
Those Quaker looking
Quaker. But I've had to eat instant grits and oatmeal is like crazy.
Yeah.
Is that all the would you rather?
Would you rather accidentally like an old photo of your exes on Instagram or accidentally send a naughty text to a relative?
I already get drunk and like old pictures of exes. Yeah, me too.
Just to let them know I'm still there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
In case they want to. My ex came over last night.
God, I'm the worst about that mess.
Are you a fuck around with the exes guy? You have a tough time letting go?
Yeah, the problem is they just don't fuck around with me. I'm telling you, don't. I will. Like I said,
even when you end it,
I've never ended it with one. Don't leave
me.
I've been that guy. No, I promise you, I have been that guy. Like I said, I don't casually date. So, like, if I actually date somebody, I really care about you. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm just going to casually live my life and do whatever I want to. Like, I don't see the need. I had a teacher in high school who said, if you don't see yourself dating this person, don't date them. You're just literally blocking each other's blessing. And so that's how I am. But if I date you, I am attached. And I'm one of those, whatever I do, if you want to do it, you can do it with me. And the last one that I dated, I'm talking about destroyed me. Like, I cannot drink Wild Turkey 101 anymore because it was what me and her family used to drink. And after we broke up for like 2 months straight, every day a fifth, like bad.
Dang.
It was rough.
Yeah.
Like it was rough.
How long ago was that?
It's probably about almost 4 years now.
Okay, good.
Almost 4 years. So, and that's why ever since then I've been like, you know what? I'm just going to be honest with women. If they want to be around, they can be around. If they want to just be a friend, they can be a friend.
Yeah, I'm probably like the first time in my life finally single and happy about being single. Yeah,
that's how I am right now.
I feel like in the past, I always went through breakups and I was always like, all right, who's going to be my next girlfriend? You know?
Go from one
and
to the next.
And that's how it's like a serial dater. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But now it's like I'm comfortable in my own skin and like I'm cool with like just having nights where it's just me and the Xbox and, you know, old Angela, you know?
No, trust me. I know it's Angela fun, well.
You know? It's like
Angela Jolie. Yeah.
I think people try to win the breakup.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I used to do. And by trying to win the breakup, even if they broke up with me, I wanted to be like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, let's get back together and then you break up with them.
Yeah, I'll have somebody. No, I mean, like, I'll have somebody the next couple of days just to put on social media that's and hotter. Show off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say, you're not going to get the best of me. And the whole time as you post the picture or whatever, you're like, I hope she sees it.
Yeah.
And I hope she responds.
Yeah. Hope she wants me back.
That bitch never did.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't ever do that anymore.
That's how familiar, Trey.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm bad about it. I'm bad about song lyrics. I'm bad about posting something that obviously doesn't say, this is about you, but this is about you.
Yeah.
Subliminal. Subliminal. What do they call that? The subtweet. Yeah, subtweeting. Yeah. Like people do that on Twitter.
I'm
a lot.
Bad.
I knew my ex. We used to look at my Spotify and what I was listening to. So I would like on the days where I was like going through the five stages of grief, like the day I fucking hated her, I would like name my playlist like you're a fucking bitch or something, you know. And then like the next day is like I still miss you playlist, you know.
Oh yeah, boy, I'm telling you, I'm bad. So, I would post like literally these songs.
If you're thinking about calling me, do it,
please, you know? Please. If you're wondering if I'm thinking about you, I am.
Okay, that's the name of the playlist.
Jeez, everybody's got one too.
Yeah, it'll ruin me. That's why I have fun now. I want somebody to come snatch me up.
Like, cause that's the, you know, that's when it's like, you know, that you obsess really is when you're looking at their personal Spotify profile to see what they're listening to.
I didn't even know you could do that.
Cause you're blocked on everything else. I mean, dude, I'm a professional here. Okay.
You have to be. Cause I didn't even know you could go that far.
Oh, you can do that.
Do you notice a trend of like women that you've dated or been with where like certain occupations are crazy? Like they say like horse girls are crazy or like nurses are awesome or like this, that, the other thing. Like what have some of your girlfriends done for occupations?
Oh God.
So I feel like there's like you talk about born here, live here.
Nurses are always well. I like nurses a lot.
Well, I mean, if you look at the way I live, I know I'm gonna need a bitch later to take care of me.
Yeah,
I'm gonna need somebody that is going to literally make sure I don't end up in a nursing home.
Yeah,
and so I kind of go with that. Besides that, I don't know. Some of the girls on social media are cool that try to make a career out of it.
Most of them aren't cool, though, on social media.
You're 100% right. Yeah. Like, it's rare. So, my biggest thing is if you're a good person, I don't care what anything about your life is. It's how you treat me. Yeah. I don't care race, sexual orientation, whatever. It's how you treat me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, like, my biggest thing. The people that we invite on the road trips to do content, to do shows and all that kind of stuff, you just have to be a good person and you have to be unique.
That's right. You said you want to surround yourself with great people.
With good people, right? So what's bad is we've had now several trips where we go on these week-long trips and we take people off social media, right? Mm-hmm. And on social media, they're so cool. They're just witty. They're everything.
Yeah.
They seem like they got a good heart. You get around them.
Yeah.
And it's like, I cannot wait if you get on your plane fast enough.
Yeah.
Like, you're nothing. You're not authentic. Like, you're just somebody else.
Yeah.
And I cannot stand that. But the ones that you do find off social media that are authentic and they blew up for being themselves are absolutely wonderful to be around. And I love being around because they kind of get what I do.
Yeah.
That's the most important part of my dating life right now. You have to understand what I do.
Would you date another content creator, influencer, personality?
I think
you classify that as shitting where you eat.
I don't. I used to say I wouldn't do it, but I've tried to talk and be around women who didn't get what I did for a living, and now I would
like if you could find a bunny out there. I mean, how cool would that be?
Yeah,
you
know? I wanted
to talk about her messaging you.
Yeah, so that was cool. Everybody kind of took it the wrong way. They didn't understand why I thought it was a big deal. You did her show.
Right? Dude, she's awesome. Her podcast is great.
Yeah. So whenever she followed me, I want to make sure I say this right. She followed me back and right away saw it pop up, messaged her.
Yeah.
But I appreciate her and Jelly Roll's story.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thing with everybody that I invite on my show. Off of social media, it's your story.
Mm-hmm.
It's I want you to affect somebody and share with me. I want you to be able to open up, us talk, us bullshit, have a good time.
And you'd be interested and have intrigue in it.
Exactly.
Like, have conversational value.
So, like, with her, it's just there's got to be so much. And I imagine there's stuff y'all talked about that was aired, yeah, stuff that didn't. And I just think she would be the greatest person to sit down and have a conversation with, and both of us just be deadly honest.
Dude, that's how it was. I said shit on that podcast that I've never said anywhere else, yeah, in any other interview. It's just because I felt comfortable and that, you know, and it was just, I felt safe there. And she's
awesome.
She's awesome.
Her and Jelly are great.
And Jelly came in and introduced herself to me, and man, it was just cool.
See, I'm not a big fan of country rap or anything like that.
Yeah.
He is like the guy, though.
Yeah,
he's in the rock now, bro.
But he's somebody that even back in the day, and I was going to save this if me and her ended up doing a show, but I'll say it here now. There was an album that he did with Lil White back in the day.
Yeah,
and it's got like a song on there. It's kind of like a Christian song, and it's called Moving Mountains.
Yeah,
dude, I've cried to that song.
Yeah,
and it's just so. I love what he does. He stands out in a crowd. Like, to me, he's not a big fish in a big pond. He is the pond.
Yeah.
In that genre. Like,
the definition of authenticity.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and then you hear them talk about, like, his past. When I was 18 and everything, I was pissed shit. Like, yeah. I've got two felonies for stealing scrap metal and shit. I've been to jail for, like, out of my entire life, and this is from 18 to 21, like, 7 months overall.
Mm-hmm.
And like the people that can rebound from that hit me different because that's me.
For
and
sure.
I know
same
that,
here.
And I know the struggles that he had to go to move on from that. And it's just something about like, and I don't know all her struggles. Mm-hmm. There's no way she doesn't have some stuff that I just, even if it wasn't recorded.
Yeah.
She's just, I always say that the best podcasts are just really great conversations that there happens to be a mic in front of you.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, you just, you ought to just be able to sit down, talk to your friends, and like air stuff out.
Yeah, dude. I mean, she did one with Dimps. I cried listening to that.
Yeah, Dimps is cool. She's been on my show a couple times now, and the first time she was on there, I knew that girl was gonna be something special. I mean,
she talked about living on her mom's couch. And, you know, like,
she
putting it together. I mean, I got emotional, and I was by myself in my truck.
That girl deserves, from what I've seen, every single bit of everything she gets. Mm-hmm. Like, she's genuine, dude. What you see of her on social media is exactly what you get. Mm-hmm. And those are my favorite people.
Yeah.
That you blew up off of being yourself.
Is there an interview you look back on, or like an episode you look back on where shit got wild?
There's a lot of them. There's some that I wish I wouldn't have done. There's a dude that he's been kicked off of social media now. Are off TikTok and all stuff. Every time he tries to make a new account now, he gets banned after like having 3 or 4 million. Wow,
they're really on him then.
Yeah. Damn. Well, he did my show. His name was A Hood. Well, that's not his real name. So I know I can say like his screen name. It was A Hood. And he was a dude that would go around and say, what was it? I'm at the 7-Eleven or whatever it was. It was so stupid.
Yeah.
But this was back in the early stages of my show that I was fishing for people that had big followings. Because I knew all I had to do was get their listeners or his viewers to listen to my podcast, and they were going to be hooked. I knew that's all I had to do. So I had him on. And we ended up talking about this domestic violence stuff that he went through. And he was completely lying. Completely lying. Ended up in prison. Like, he might be there now, to be honest with you. I don't know. But I don't ever do one side of a story. I always will let... If you're sitting there and you say that this person beat the hell out of you, I'm going to ask that person to do my show on the next episode share your side of the story.
That is, that's
it's not my job to tell you what to believe.
No,
the listener gets to make up their mind if you do that.
You're giving them a public forum for a story.
Exactly.
You're just hosting it.
I've told everybody.
That's huge.
I don't care. Like, this person was a clickbait to me, but when it became about that, I'm going to let the person that he accused that had hardly any followers or any social media, I'm going to let them do my show so they can spill their piece. Well, it ended up being that the person who had, like I said, it might have been 200, 300 followers that accused him of this stuff, ended up court documents and all that kind of stuff. The dude ended up getting locked up for beating the hell out of her. And that's one of the prouder moments of like what I do is, you know, I think all sides of the story need to be told. And that guy, I wish I would have never done it, but it got so wild that I'm glad I did. Now, there's been some nasty ones too, but we don't really do those anymore. We don't have to.
Yeah.
Those were
the shock value.
Yeah. Well, I thought you had to. My thing was, when I first started, is I saw what would trend and what wouldn't. And it veered me to what would trend, but it also took away from what I stood for. And the second that I realized, like, I've always said this, even when I worked in radio, I pick my morals over money. If you pick your morals over money, you'll always be happy. Mm-hmm. You might be broke as hell, but you'll always be happy. You can have peace. You can have a good night's sleep. And I got to where the show got to a certain point that I was taking the money, the views and downloads, and wasn't listening to my morals. And the second I said, I'm not doing this anymore, and I got away from it for a little while, stuff exploded again. Like, I had to get away. I had to get away from it. So we don't do too much of the wild stuff. Now, I get drunk and talk shit to anybody on there.
Yeah.
That's part of the appeal to it. I have fun with talking shit. But yeah, we don't do too much wild anymore. Not naughty wild anymore anyway.
Yeah.
It got to be too much.
You never had, like, Howard would have the girls ride the Sibian?
No,
or Opie and Anthony would have people call in while they were having sex and got in trouble.
If you could have Beetlejuice on your
show. Yeah, do you have Beetlejuice?
That's the guy with Howard, right?
The little
black fucker.
Dude. Yeah, little black
dude. I don't know. I just don't know if he'd fit what I want to do now.
Yeah.
Really, what I want to do now is I want to share good stories with good people. I want to get drunk with my buddies or drunk like with y'all or whatever. I know you don't drink, right?
Yeah. I'll cheer you on.
There you go. I want to get loose-lipped and have fun. But I don't want it to be disgusting anymore or whatever, right? Like, yeah. So you can talk about certain things. Like, we talk about sex on the show or whatever. But I found the way to do it to where it's not going to turn the soccer mom off. Yeah. It's not going to make her turn the radio off.
Yeah, we don't need instructions on how to give somebody head.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, why would you do that? No. If you want to talk about your intimate life, that's fine. Yeah. Do it in a way to where
it's tasteful.
It's tasteful. Yeah. You can be nasty and tasteful at the same time.
So, top five dream guests for the Josh Terry Show.
Rogan's one.
Okay, Rogan.
Just because he just would be awesome. Rodman, Tyson, Howard would have to be, but
he's a really awkward dude. Like, I worked with a lot of people when I was in radio in Jersey that were part of that back in the 90s and 2000s. And they said, great guy. But if he didn't have a microphone in front, which I guess he'd have a microphone in front of him. But
my thing when I say Howard is he literally is what made me ever want to work in radio. I don't think I would. I just don't know how I could talk to him. Rogan, I think I would just get high.
Would you show him the Rough and Rowdy video? And let Joe Rogan critique.
He would do so.
Because he'd have some stories about shit he'd probably gotten into over the years.
Well, it was something that when I was still in radio, when I really started diving into a lot of the stuff that he talks about that is just like his beliefs or whatever. He says some stuff, dude, that is just, if you're in our line of work, radio, podcast, whatever, that is just so, it hits home. I don't even know if I could do a show with him. I would rather have a drink with him.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd want it to be recorded. And I think that's the way I would want
it
to be.
It's a cold beer conversation.
Yeah, I would like, that's what I want. Stone Cold Steve Austin and Bunny are probably. Yeah.
Stone Cold would be sick.
Stone Cold. I would say Hogan too.
Like Stone Cold, like Steve Austin as Steve Austin or like him as Stone Cold.
I want him to be him. I don't think there's a difference.
Yeah. I think it's the same guy. That's why he was so good.
Do you remember that show he had on CMT?
Was it Skull Ranch?
Yeah, Skull Ranch. Yeah, it's like Survive, like doing the challenges.
Yeah, I think he's the only one that it's not different. And the only other person I could really think of that I would like to pick their brain is Dave Poirier.
Yeah.
I think he's just a beast, though. Like, I think the guy, I probably said his name wrong.
Portnoy.
I always say his name wrong.
El Prez.
Yeah, I always say his name wrong. But I watched that 60 Minutes on HBO or whatever that he did, talking about how he got to where he was at. I just got a lot of respect for him. I don't think we would match up on anything. He would probably think I was a moron, to be honest with you, and just nobody he would ever want to work with. Yeah. I see him like being that way. But the way that that dude took nothing and made it into what he has now, and the way that he went about it being completely authentic and just holding by his guns the whole time.
And he got into some shit. When I went to college in New Jersey, Old Row is a big thing down in the South, and Old Row is now an extension of Barstool, but they would do those foam parties. They'd come into different college towns, and you'd go in there, and it would be. It was a fucking disaster. It was nuts, like just wild shit everywhere. But that's how they got the college base, and they got a lot of heat for that, but he stuck by his guns, and now look where he's at. He got in with that base. Now they're all in their 30s and loving Barstool.
And that's what I'm trying to do moving forward is I keep saying to folks when they ask me like what I want the show to become, how it would grow. I want to be the Joe Rogan of country music.
Hell yeah.
Like that's what I want to do. I want to have the people that I actually sit here and think are authentic country. That if I was riding around with my grandpa, if he was still around, I could play this song and my grandpa would like it. Like, that's to me where we're from is country. But I also want to have the people on there. You can have an educated conversation about anything. And that's why we don't do the nasty shit no more. That's why we don't have, like, too much vulgar stuff on the show. Is because I've found what makes me happy. And I've always been happy being around music anyway.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to keep going. I wanted to keep gravitating towards there. And so that's just what I see as far as guests and all that kind of shit. Going forward.
Yeah. Well, dude, thanks for being on the podcast.
It is a pleasure. This has been fun.
It's fun. I can't wait to come back on yours one day when I can finally make it to your Live Oak round.
We're doing that Thursday morning. But hey, if y'all even get time in the next couple of days, what my favorite shows to do though, and you haven't done one of these yet, you have to.
All right.
Is at the beginning of this year, we did a show to where there was like 12 musicians in a room.
Yeah.
Justin Dukes to Brian Young, Kimberly Atwood, just a lot of folks. Anyway, so like, we get to talking, first 30 minutes goes in, and they're just playing originals or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm drunk. I'm drunk, and I'm loose-lipped as hell. And I'm like, what made y'all love country music in the first place?
Yeah.
What made you want to get into it? And so everybody starts voicing their opinion. And I was like, you know what we ought to do for the rest of this show? Instead of you playing your originals, unless you want to play your originals, start playing the music that made you want to get into country music. Because at some point in time with you, playing a cover song had to be like a job.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and you forget that there's a song that I love.
Yeah, I would just play a bunch of J.B. Johnson covers because that's what was my thing. So,
and that's what everybody started doing. And then we had this really special moment right there. We did 4 hours that night. 4 hours of drinking, people recording their favorite songs. And the song Everything That Glitters Isn't Gold.
Oh, dude.
You had Kimberly Atwood, J.C. Anderson, John Fox, several others. They had never sung it before. Damn. Never, ever sung it before together. And you go back and you listen to that clip of the show.
It's good.
It's special.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God. And that's what I want to keep doing. But I want to have you come do one of those and we have these group shows.
I'm with it.
To where everybody just plays off of each other. Yeah. Man, you get these moments that are just, they're different.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So where do they find your podcast? Josh Terry? Josh Terry podcast.
Yeah, just look up the Josh Terry podcast. It's a cartoon character of me sitting at a table with a girl with a big ass in front of me serving me liquor. It couldn't get any more real than that. So on all major platforms, Apple Podcast, Spotify, iHeartRadio, anywhere you can find podcasts.
And follow them on your social medias, Josh Terry Podcast. It's,
I think everything I got is JL Terry 87.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I wasn't smart enough when I started everything that I just should have included my name in the title. So it's JL Terry 87.
Well, you're posting enough shit to where they'll see it in the FYP or wherever. So
I have to.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody can, you know, sing. Some of us got to post stupid shit to get noticed.
We love it. We love it, man. We love it.
Well, dude, I appreciate both of y'all having
Thanks
me
for coming on. Thank y'all for watching episode 21 of the DM Monday podcast. Please rate, subscribe, go to our website and buy some merch. We out this bitch.
Give a holler to that blue collar boy out in the holler. Let him ride you out the city around the farm. Do some fishing in the dark. Get you digging out the stars a little closer out here. No, if you need a little change of view, you want to see how the down home looks on you. Light it up, he'll be gone. Just give a country boy a call. If you want to see what you hear in them country songs, want to watch a harvest moon hang all night long, if you want to stick them high risers in the rear view, he's got a cross hanging from the middle one. All you got to do, just give a holler to that blue collar boy out in the holler. Let him ride you out the city, around the farm. Do some fishing in the dark. Get you digging, how the stars a little closer out here.